This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Hello, lovely ATR listeners. I am Mitchell Gadd, and welcome to episode 186 of a Touchline Rant podcast. I'll be hosting things this week, but I am joined by my tag team partner in crime, Mr. Luke Smalley. Say hello, Luke.
Hello, Mitchell. How are you?
I'm good.
That was too low. It was a crane.
I was going to say you sound like a radio host that was, you're like a late night radio host, maybe just a sort of a soothing, dulcet tones. Yeah.
Razor Crane. Yeah. So is, and you're handing over.
It's that handover. Yeah. Yeah. It would last, it would go anywhere and it would last for ages. Be a bit that good.
I listened back to last week's episode this morning, and yeah. One, I think it was actually, it was a really, really good episode, but two, I got the sense, actually listening back to it, I think you were last week's podcast. Point of order to start things off.
I was bullied. Yeah. Go on then. Explain. It was
If anyone didn't listen, it was the Premier League predictions episode last week. Go back and listen to it, because some of us make some outlandish claims.
Crazy, exactly. You know, I mean, I thought it was. I'm glad I stuck to my guns on some of my decisions. You know,
All of us have pinned our flags to the mast quite aggressively in points. Some bold prediction.
I got this vision of like really aggressively like putting up a flag.
Remember this year when we look back at last year's predictions and how you reacted when you found out that Jordan had predicted Hugo Lloris to win the Golden Glove?
Yeah.
We're going to have a few moments of them next.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I, as it was being done, I thought this is going to make for some good material in a few months' time.
Yeah. At one point, I don't know why I've picked United to win the league, to be honest. I'm already bricking it, and we won 5.
It can only go one way, really, can't it? Oh. There we are. But there, if you haven't listened to it, listen back. Pause this episode if you want. This is a beautiful podcast. You can pause this one. It's not live radio, is it? You won't be missing that. You can pause it, catch up, and then listen to this one. And if you did that, welcome back. I'm Mitchell Gadd. Today with Luke Smalley. This is episode 186 of Touchline Rant. Thanks for joining us.
You've no idea how much I really hope that what happened now is someone has in fact paused it, gone back, listened to the episode, and then gone, Mitchie's just greeting me back.
Like interactive, very interactive and bespoke podcasting here. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. That's good. All right, great. So we might as well talk about some football. We're back. So the Premier League. We've got a full weekend's fixtures to digest in our tummy. It's been floating around. I felt it went down quite nicely, actually. I was going to say I felt bloated, but no, I didn't actually. It was a lovely weekend of football. I don't know if we talked about this. We definitely talked about this off air, but. I don't know if we mentioned it on it, but it's very good to have the slew of Saturday games at 3 o'clock back to have some normality to the fixtures, wasn't it? That was really good.
It did help this week that we all had good weeks on fantasy football as well. Yeah. And they always help.
It always makes you feel better.
United won. I had a week on fantasy football. One more do I need to happen on a weekend?
A 10 straight off the bat.
Yeah.
Raising your bat at the end of the weekend.
That's ridiculous.
I know, it's crazy.
Our mini league, someone has, well, against me, someone scored 98 points this week and didn't win the
shout out, Ed.
Yeah, that's how good a week I had. Someone came up with 98 points and still couldn't beat me.
I know that head-to-head league's gonna be fun. You'll hear more about that this season, I'm sure, as you get to the ATR derby. No, it's really good, and obviously that fantasy football a bit elongated the weeks last season. But yeah, we started off well. Let's start off with Friday's game because it was a really good opener, I thought, and it was really. I always like to start the season watching one of the new boys, and It's always preferable. I think the best ingredients for a first opening game of the season that sort of kicks things off and before any other games kicked off is newly promoted side at home, feverish support against a big name club that they can test themselves against, and a local rival, and all of those things combined. What do you make of, before we talk about Arsenal, what do you make of Brentford? Because I think you, talking about predictions last week, you felt that they would give this season a real good go and stay up, didn't you? So I think already looking like a good, solid one. So what do you think?
I don't see any reason why Brentford can't stay up and have a good season. You know, they've got everything. They've got players there who show to perform better than they have been, who've already been phenomenal. You know, obviously Ivan Toney, obviously, because he absolutely... last season, but also Rico Henry has been on people's radars for a long time. He's very young, but he's potentially really, really good. Like, I could see Rico Henry easily play if his career it should do, hopefully it will. It's like Chelsea, you know, I can imagine him playing for Chelsea. He's just got that thing about him, I don't know what it is. And Bueno, like you alluded to, in that it was the first game back for nearly 2 years. I think a lot more should have been put into people's home fixtures, the important, because yes, there will be some people who went to football, but the stadium wasn't full. And you and I both know that if you go to a stadium which is only half full, it's not the same as when you go to a stadium that's full and it's bouncing.
I always felt that when I play football in front of full 80,000 stadiums. Yeah, much there's more no feeling like turning up to Tralee.
There's an example of
40 fans. It's insane.
I just think we should have looked at it more closely. Fans. Not only is it the first time the stadium would be full for nearly 2 years, but it's their first game in the Premier League. Who are they playing, Mitchell? Arsenal. They've put, as Freudini would say, the biggest bottlers in the Premier League. You know?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I loved Bournemouth's performance. I thought they were just full of energy and everything you'd want from a side coming up. You know, I think you mentioned... And Bueno was fantastic. Like, he
was amazing.
Hot dog, he sold Ben White in the first half. I thought Ben White's still going to be mentioned down on that one. I thought, obviously, Canos's goal was great. Norgaard could have had a second, I think, as well. You know, he was Toney caused him all kinds of problems, gave White a night to forget on his debut. And they were just, full of energy, full of running, but they were also... They were making the right decisions as well. Arsenal just didn't have a chance to kind of... Every time that you thought Arsenal were clearing their lines, they were first to the first ball, the second ball, the third ball. They were just recycling in the attacks again. And they were just relentless, really. And Arsenal Well, let's talk about Arsenal, because a lot of, lots been said since.
Can I put an amendment in before we talk Arsenal, just so that I can set my stall up really early?
Go on.
One thing that has annoyed me this week slightly is I've seen quite a lot of criticism of Ben White. Now, he had, as you said, on his debut. However, remember when David De Gea had a shocker in the Community Shield game? We still beat City, but it was 3-2. I think we were 2-0 up. David De Gea made his debut, replacing Van der Sar in goal. Just wasn't, he wasn't very good. And it took him a while to settle. And then, I mean, yeah, that worked out quite well.
Yeah. He wasn't great for the first few league games, and there's probably loads of examples.
Yeah, I just think it's a bit early for us to be laying a lot of criticism on Ben White.
I think, in fairness to him, and look, it's about how he responds, because you know that's not gonna you're always gonna have a bad game as a defender, no matter how long you've played the game and how good you are, and he's obviously got quality, but. You know, it's how he responds, and I think, you know, teams will look at what Brentford did to Arsenal, and they will try and replicate it. They'll try and play those difficult long balls up and get runners off, and you know, and obviously, you know, make life as difficult as they can for him. But so they're going to have to, you know, Arsenal and Ben White are going to have to be prepared for that. I'm sure he's got the ability to do it, but yeah, it will be a test, and the microscope is greater on those players that are higher up in the league, and you know, just the way it is, you know, no disrespect to Brighton.
Easy. It doesn't get any easier for them as well, throwing in the mix, because they play Chelsea next.
Chelsea, I know. So what about Arsenal? I mean, there's talk of Coutinho coming in potentially as part of a swap with Aubameyang, and we've talked about Aubameyang, and you mentioned before about what they maybe shouldn't have offered him that massive contract. But Arsenal, they look short at the moment. I looked at the team, the performance on Friday, and I thought Smith Rowe was good. I thought Tierney was good. And I thought Saka looked lively when he came on. Apart from that, you know, they've got good young players. You know, mentioned those two. Martinelli obviously finished the season strong last year. Arsenal finished the season strong last year. I think they were third in the form guide.
Yeah.
For sort of games after kind of Christmas, but they're still a kind of a young emerging side, and they got bullied. They got kind of they looked lightweight. We still got how long till the end of the window? We've got a couple of weeks yet.
Like 2 weeks. I think that look the problem with the God's where it's just so. I don't know where to begin with Arsenal. It genuinely feels like we've been having the same conversation about Arsenal for about 12 years somehow. Do you know what I mean? They just seem to be... It's one game. It's one game. You can't judge anything on the first game of the season. You know? The treble year, United won the treble. We drew the first. You know, you can't do anything. Arsenal have got a really good side together, one which we all agree has got the potential to finish again, because obviously they didn't finish in the European places. They've got all the potential there. There's a few little bits which are an issue, you know, like you said, being given such a massive contract at his age for so many years, it's put them in a right pick. And obviously Willian as well, who we both said when they signed him, and you're putting him on ludicrous amounts of wages for a number of years. Like, he's loving his life now because he can just sit there for 4 years. He's going to break it in because he's not worth it. You know? It's Arsenal, isn't it? Brentford were exciting. Brentford were good.
Yeah,
and Arsenal were just unlucky. I just think it's like Leeds, you know, like this season, this week is one game, you know.
It'll be how they respond, and it'll be interesting to see if they do any business. But Obviously, they were missing a couple of senior players. Lacazette was also out of the fire. So we'll wait and see. So we'll move on to another London club, West Ham. So West Ham. So last week, you talked about, you know, me being treated unfairly last week. I was laughed out of the building for suggesting that West Ham might finish again in that sort of fairly high up. I think I said they would be eighth, which I don't think
higher than that. You said they'd be in the top seven. I believe you said seven.
Oh, seven, yes. Sorry, yeah, five, six, seven we did, didn't we? So seven. So I said seventh, which, you know, yeah, it's a bit of a shout. But anyway, last season, they definitely surprised a lot of teams, and always difficult when you kind of, when a side has done something unexpected and then they've got to repeat that, because sides can kind of try and work them out and they take them less by surprise. They've obviously, they started last season well, kicked on when they brought in Lingard. They've lost Lingard. Benrahma is looking like a man from pre-season that they'll want to kind of plug that gap and step up. You did well with him in your fantasy team, by the way.
I did.
They look good going forward. So they look good going forward. So, yeah, so it was new. It was Alan Saint-Maximin to West Ham 4, because although he didn't get both goals for Newcastle, Saint-Maximin's performance was flipping immense. It was so good. He absolutely turned.
I don't know what to do with Alan Saint-Maximin, because part of me wants to see him perform on a bigger stage, because I think he's got the potential. Like, if he went to like a Real Madrid, it could just be magnificent.
I know. I hope he doesn't go to a Madrid. I hope if he goes to someone other than a bloody Madrid. But he was brilliant. But anyway, we're going to talk about West Ham first. So despite the fact that they did look a little bit ragged, but it was Saint Maximin and he was on one of those days. But they were really good going forward. And I think they should
have Madwen.
Madwen. But they did well to turn it around. So what did you make of West Ham's performance? Because I thought there was, you know, a lot to be positive and excited about for West Ham fans in that first game.
They were really good. I think they, you know, they've got a really good side. There's a few things which I think you won't know them long term. Like, is Benrahma going to stay in the side? Because he was rotated to hell last season by Moyes. Is he going to stay in the West Ham side and get a good run of form going? Or is he going to get... And he's just going to become one of those hit-and-miss kind of players. He could hit a really good vein of form. You know, stay fit.
Always a question, isn't it? No one doubts his quality, but it's... Like, if they could keep him fit and manage him well, then that would make a massive difference. That, you could see that would make a difference between four or five places in the league where they finish. They could go from 7th, 8th to 13th, 14th, 15th if they lost him for... and perhaps that's been a little unfair, but I think he can make that much difference.
Look, the core of that West Ham midfield and sort of, well, the mid to attack, say, of West Ham, you look at the players that they've got. They've got Declan Rice, who is one of the best defensive midfielders there is. Like, Declan Rice, I know the opinion of the podcast host here is split because Skinner doesn't rate him, but Jordan loves him. I agree with Jordan.
I'm with Jordan. It's nonsense that
Declan Rice is phenomenally good. Maybe his opinion has changed since the World Cup, but pre-World Cup, he was not having any... What?
Euros,
you mean? Euros, sorry, not the World Cup. I'm getting well ahead of myself.
You've travelled in time to Qatar.
I might as well.
But yeah, he was great in the year. But it's funny you should mention Rice, because I when I was watching the game and I was thinking, because you do after the prediction show, you tend to sort of relive some of your predictions before you forget them, and then hope that when we look back on them, that you've not stitched yourself up. But I thought, well, you know, the biggest reaction I got was from me saying West Ham finished seventh. And then I thought, well, maybe, you know, you start thinking, oh, maybe that is a bit, you know, I was giving them a bit too much credit. But then I looked to their side and I thought, if they keep Rice, it was kind of reassuring for me. I thought, if you've got a side with Declan Rice in the middle of the park, you're going to be able to control a lot of game, enough games for you to finish in the top half easily. If he stays fit, and then you build in the sort of the more flair players around him. So then you look at
your Bowens, your Ben Rahmas,
even your Sue Fowles, who's charging down the wing, and
your Suchecks.
You see, all of them, all the big names. But it was one of those where, you know, I just thought if they can keep their big players fit, they haven't got, obviously losing Lingard's a bit of a blow for me. It'll be interesting to see whether they do, because Lingard, his future is still, I'm still surprised that there hasn't been that much talk about him leaving before the window, because we are getting towards the end. And I do wonder that whether they will still get him for the season for the end of, because he did so well, and I can't see why they wouldn't put some money towards getting him on a permanent. But if they can keep their core big players fit or on the field for enough of the season, I think Ben Rahma also has got a, you know, there's been a lot of, I think they, a lot said about whether he can kind of make that step up and sort of take it on, because he sort of showed it, didn't he, in fits and starts last season. I think they'll be looking for him to kick on.
They've got really good, interesting, and you know, it pains me to say it because I'm not, but West Ham have got a really good setup going.
Here's a question for you though, right? So last season we said that West Ham were one of the sides that benefited from the fans not being there, because
massively.
I don't think they started the season massively well either. I could be wrong.
That was the episode you. West Ham fans.
Yeah, did I say that?
Yeah, you said Millwall all the way.
I don't know about that. Don't pause it and go listen and try and find it. First of all, you'll be ages.
You're safe. You live in a country nobody can get into. Like, you can't even break into Australia.
I don't know. I reckon that's someone. I would never say that about West Ham fans. But anyway, I think it depends whether. What do you think? Do you think that if they start, will they have this wave of positivity now towards Moyes and the team? But it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Because if they do, obviously they're one of those where I think the fans will get on their back if things don't go their way. So, you know, might not be as excited to get all the supporters back if things like that start happening.
Yeah, look, Newcastle are the same though, you know. Newcastle are exactly the same. You know, it's what's going to happen. The fans are back in. They're very vocal. You know, there's good players who will look at those fans and think, oh, like, are you going to behave yourself, basically? Because the thing with West Ham is they need to get behind their side for the full 90 minutes. And if they can continue to, when West Ham slip and stumble, the fans get on their back very quickly. If you just give them a little bit of support and breathing room, they'll probably turn it around quicker, you know? But exactly. They've got a very good side. I have no reason to think that will happen. You know, they've got a good side. They've only added to it very well, in my opinion.
Positivity for towards West Ham. Yeah, interesting. And Newcastle, bit tougher. They've obviously got some exciting players. Yeah, wonder whether anyone will go in for Sam Maximum, but he's obviously their prize guy. But yeah, it's a heck of a performance. Let's talk about the big game on Sunday between Spurs and Man City. Spurs again doing Man City at home. I think it's like three games in a row. 2-0, 2-0, 1-0. So a lot was said, obviously, a new manager for Spurs, Nuno Espirito Santo. I thought one thing that stood out for that game from Spurs was just a lot of desire. They were crunching in with some fair tackles, but like letting the opposition know they were there. Probably not always the thing you associate with Spurs sides too much, but they were doing that, the sort of the dirty work kind of off the ball, and they were playing well on the break. They had the front, they had sort of Son, obviously, Bergwijn and Mora. Mora had a really good game, I thought. Looked really lively. But there was a lot of... Dele Alli, and if you want to talk about FPL potentials for this season, 6.5 million. If Dele Alli gets those games that, you know, he has that arm around him, gets a lot of starts in. Obviously, we think in FPL, but from a Spurs point of view for the league, if he can get his confidence back, then that would be like a new signing, because and I think Spurs fans will be looking for him to do kind of what a sort of a similar Luke Shaw situation, where he sort of faced the ostracization of Jose Mourinho. Yeah. And now he's maybe looking to turn it all around. But they were great. But there's a lot of positive signs there for Spurs fans. What did you make of Nuno's Spurs, Luke?
I thought they were extremely good. I think that, I mean, they went into it strikerless. There was not a striker on that pitch. Do you know what I mean? Not a single striker was on that pitch.
Didn't matter.
Didn't matter, not a single one. Didn't matter because Heung-min Son was allowed to play to his strength of dropping a little box or inside. He's such a good player. Everyone talks about Harry Kane potentially leaving Spurs and what an impact it will have, which undoubtedly it would. You take out that many guaranteed goals, a massive impact. But it's the equivalent of like stealing the tyres of a car. It's a minor annoyance, but you can replace the tyres easily, sort of really easily enough. You can call someone and just replace them. Do you know what I mean? But if you took out Heung-min Son, it's basically like waking up in the morning and going, someone's removed the engine.
And you think there's that much of a difference, do you?
I think when you take into account not just ability on the pitch, overall, like commitment and what an influence he's going to have on that. Like, we're talking about someone who went back and did military service. He looks like a really nice, polite boy that my mum. Do you know what I mean? Like, if she met Jack Green. I don't like him. But if she met him in Sun, she'd be like, what a lovely boy. I just think
I think over the course of a season, Harry Kane is a bit more than tyres. I reckon he's if you lose him, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I'm not having that. I think you lose a Chappie there as well.
Or there are so in the same way that in the Man City side, you Aguero, as now has happened, we're about to see the impact that will have, because it's not just on the pitch, it's also the dressing room. They're a very, very, very long time. This could have an impact. We don't know yet. It might not, but it might. It's sometimes you remove a player from a dressing room and they may not be the most skillful, but it's the dressing room negatively. This is why you have like players like Scott Carson still having a playing contract. This is why Lee Grant has got a new contract. You know, these players, Rob Green at Chelsea, there are certain players who they just have a nice impact on the dressing room. I personally believe that the impact would be felt more if Son left than if Kane left. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just... Harry Kane has got the worst personalities in the entire world. The man wants what I just want. He makes me want to fall asleep just from listening to him. I am aware that I'm opening myself up to criticism here because I am recording a podcast, but he has got no charisma in any way, shape or form. He talks like a robot. I know he's media trained in color, but I think he's also the hair.
Got in on him. If you're Spurs, so I guess if you did lose Harry Kane now, you'd probably feel a little bit less like the world is caving in when you saw that performance. But it would still be a big loss. But if you've got Ali performing and Mora. I think that is at least, if they can keep Kane, amazing. But at least those two, having those two players now, because Mora was kind of last season was sort of fits and starts. He was in and out of the side. I think that he struggles coming off the bench. I just think he needs a run of, for me, he's a player that needs a run of games. And he coming in and out of the team last season, I just didn't think he was one of those that was making an impact off the bench. But he looked like he was at it. He looked like it's, you know, it was a typical, and obviously we can't get carried away after one game, which is what we obviously the main thing we have to kind of underline after some of these comments. But it looked like a performance of a side with a new manager. It was typical new manager bounce, as they call it. It was one of those where everyone's got a fresh, a clean slate, everyone's got a fresh start. You know, impress the new manager. The key is like, can they maintain that? Because they're going to be games where, you know, that type of performance isn't required. That type of game plan isn't required. You know, the on the break, you know, spoiling, breaking up attacks, getting in those tackles in, breaking up play. It'll be one of those where they have to kind of break sides down who are a bit more resolute. Kind of sitting back, so it was kind of perfect. They set up perfectly for playing City, and let's say, yeah, you can have the ball, but we're gonna turn defense into attack quickly. We're gonna get in your face, but it was encouraging, and I think all of their like the players that they brought in, they were all on the bench, weren't they? So they have got players that can come in and make an impact as well, you know, as well as your kind of your Lascelles and Sissokos and your Doherty's and all that. So,
as well, to add into is that Højbjerg had to come off as well, so that could have a big impact on how Spurs go forward. You know, he came off and he's picked up a knock. He's an important part of that. He allows other players to be. Is the importance of having a very, very good defensive midfielder in your side.
Yeah.
You know, your Kante's, you know.
He's a big player, isn't he, for Spurs, Højbjerg. He was one of the bright spots last season. Had a really good year as well.
It's going to be interesting what happens now, especially with someone, again, from a Spurs perspective, but also from an FPL perspective. It will be to see how Nuno sets his team up going forward. He sets into a rhythm and he reverts Matt Doherty to being an attacking wing back. If he unleashes Wolves' version of Matt Doherty,
because it's one of those sides where, like we've talked about, you know, mentioned Ali and Mora, and then Doherty was disappointing after such a great season for Wolves. He was disappointing last year, and I think very quickly people identified that the kind of system and how Mourinho was setting up wasn't conducive to getting the best out of him. So it's one of those where you look then, if you add Doherty to that list of players who are kind of, they're not new signings, but if you kind of play to their strengths and unlock them, if it fits in with how you want to play, then they can be like adding three new signings without having to spend any Harry Kane money, if they have that money or not. So, you know, there are potential there to sort of take that existing squad on as well as the new boys coming in. So I just want to talk about City a little bit, because I think that they can probably have no complaints really about, they didn't really create anything at all. I think, did they have one shot at all? No shots?
They were very, they were front.
Can they play that way? Because Torres is playing up there. Obviously, Jesus was at the Olympics, wasn't he? So
he came back. He came on in the second half.
Yeah. So he's
going to take a little bit of time to come back in, but he was never really a starter anyway. I never thought it was Gabriel Jesus as a starter. I don't really think of anyone as a starter. Except Ruben Diaz and Edison, no one at City is a starter. No one. You know, it used to be different at City, where you You knew that Yaya Toure was going to start. You knew that David Silva was going to start. You knew Aguero would start. You know, you knew these players were every week. And then Pep's come in and they literally get playing kids that no one's ever fucking heard of. Front. And you're like, who's this kid? What's on? You know, Pep would just, you could, nothing is trustworthy with him.
Yeah.
You never know who's going to start.
You know, if you got him in the FPL, I've got Mahrez.
Let's talk FPL, Mitch.
I looked and I thought, oh my God, I need a City player in for the Norwich game. And I thought Mahrez could do the job against Spurs. But the stress of putting a City player into your FPL team is just like, I don't know why you do it. It's like, must be like, it's like a form of sadomasochism, putting a Man City player in your team.
They're so good, but this is the issue of having two world-class players in each position. It means you can't get 11 because they all have put in FIFA crucial on them. On FIFA career, it's like, right, give everyone a crucial contract.
He does, in fairness to Pep, he does a good job of keeping a squad happy, doesn't he?
Because rotates his side every week.
Because like you said, everyone feels like hardly anyone's an assured starter, but then on the flip side, everyone kind of feels no one feels an outsider either. They all just think, well, I'm getting the same amount. I'm getting 60% games just like this guy next to me. But it's kind of, he does a good job of kind of keeping everyone happy. But the problem is occasionally when you do your rotation, you've got to put Nathan Ake in the team. And it normally doesn't work out very well for him, does it? So, I thought they looked a bit like,
how much money did they spend on it?
Oh, no, I mean, they didn't look good. So clearly what we're saying is you've just spent $100 million on Grealish and you need to get your checkbook out and get Harry Kane because you need a... I think
ludicrous.
They do...
That's pretty... I this City game. When they came onto the pitch, the commentator described it as a weakened City side. And I looked at their starting 11. Like, you look... You look at that side and you think they have players like Forrest, Bernardo Silva, Raheem Sterling, Kevin De Bruyne, Phil Foden, Mahrez. How the hell is that your... Do you know what I mean? It's ludicrous. But if we segue into FBL briefly, who'd you pick? You say you've got Mahrez in your side. I've got Ferran Torres in mine because I thought, he's playing up front in the Community Shield and he's £7 million and he's a midfielder. Like, he's worth the gamble. Yeah. But again, you and I believe we'll be in this same situation this week. Man City lost to Spurs. De Bruyne came off the bench.
I know.
Gabriel Jesus came off the bench. Will Mahrez and Will Torres start against Norwich?
I know. You saw that as soon as I hear the team news come in, it was like, oh, De Bruyne has made the bench. He's back soon. And I thought, oh, for God's sake. Because I was buying Mahrez for a little bit. If he got something out of Spurs, was a bonus. But I was thinking Norwich second game as well. Home.
Yep.
You know, get some big points. And Mahrez likes to, you know, he's one of those where if you get it right and time it right, he can be explosive. And then as soon as I heard that, I thought, I know exactly what's going to happen. He's playing this game. De Bruyne is going to come on for the last 20. He's going to get the start the next game. Mahrez is going to drop to the bench. And I'm just going to be put my head through a brick wall again. And sit. And again, I'll be like, why do I do this to myself? And do you know what?
Worry is that Raheem Sterling will probably start. My worry is that Mahrez and Torres are both going to get rotated out for De Bruyne and Gabriel Jesus.
Yeah, no.
This is what needs to come back in. It's ludicrous. It's ridiculous.
I thought Foden's out. Jesus is not going to start. De Bruyne is out. I thought if I'm going to go for Mahrez, now is a good time to do it. It's a calculated risk.
Yeah.
And even then, I just like unbelievable. I'm worried that is, and I'm not, and I think I'm gonna, I can't take him out because I think I because it,
no, that, you can't that do goes it. You can't do it.
Because I brought him in for Norwich, so I was like, yeah, you can't do that. You've got to back yourself. But
the problem is as well with Man City playing Norwich is that you know that it's even if they do bench them, and then they come off the bench for like the last 35. Both Mahrez and Ferran Torres have the quality to be able to do something from the bench. So say it's the opposite way around and De Bruyne is taken off and De Bruyne and Jesus are taken off at 60 minutes. And the manager goes, right, go and have a half hour. If one of them got a goal after coming off the bench, it wouldn't surprise me.
All right. Make me feel better.
I don't know why we do it to ourselves. We should just stay away from Man City players. This should be the agreement. We're the only two that have done it.
I know. I thought, you know, it's brave to go in. It's brave to not have a City player, but it's also even braver to go with one, I think. But any other FPL business you want to get off your chest before we wrap things up this week, Luke? Played about your 105 points again.
105 points this week, yeah. Bemrama, Antonio, Ings, Salah, Bruno.
That West Ham game was that was painful for me because I've had Cresswell, Antonio, and Bemrama at some point were in my very close to being in my team, my final team. They were like late draft, almost complete sides, and all of them were kind of on the fence, and then I just think crazy and put Mahrez in.
This week, I just think some decisions that I made worked well. So one of the decisions I made literally, so the deadline was 8:30. I'm talking 28 minutes past. I took Ben White out of my starting 11 and put in Tsimikas from Liverpool. So I took out Ben White, who would have got me 1 point, and replaced him with a £4 million defender, thus giving me an extra 0.5 in the bank, who got 6 points.
Yeah, it's good.
And yeah. I took out the day before deadline, I took out Buendia for Bemrama.
All good decisions.
These things just happen sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
I finished with a lowly 82, which is good, but it was a high scoring week. Also won my game as well, so we're off and running. We're on the board, 3 points each in our head to heads. If you tweet us, tell us how you did the FPL team. If you're in the we've got our ATR Fantasy League as well. It's looking like it's quite a healthy amount of players in there.
If you want to tell us your score, what I want you to do is tag us at a Touchline Rant on Twitter and use the hashtag hashtag Mitch's Big Dick Warriors.
I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. Well, let's see if
it's just one of those weeks. It's just one of those
weeks. Hashtag that is. Right, I think we've naturally come to the end after that hashtag. I think that's time to wrap things up before we say anything else. That takes us from a PG-13 to rated R. Luke, thank you for joining us. Thanks for listening. And we will be back same time next week.
Hi, this is the Blender Coach, and you're listening to a Touchline Rant's latest podcast, Back of the Net.
Podcast you just heard was me using Anchor. If you want a podcast.